So a question I'm often asked is, you know, when did you get interested in herbal medicine? And I have reflected on that for a lot of years, and I actually just can't remember a time when it started. It's like it was always there. I was always curious about the plants. I loved to go fishing and camping with my grandparents. I was a Girl Scout. I had all my badges up down the bottom and up the back of my sash. I was always interested in just learning everything I could about nature and the outside world, and that included, of course, plants. And I loved knowing stories about my grandmother and her mother, who was sort of a wise woman, my great-grandmother Goldie. She was the person that the doctor would come to get to help with a birth. You know, she was a midwife. She would help with births. She knew a lot of herbs. My grandma said that, you know, there was always an herb for anything that there was a problem with in her family. And I loved learning about that. I loved hearing the stories of my own family about how people took care of themselves. I do think rural people, people that are farm folk or rural folk, are a little more self-sufficient, meaning that they are an hour from a doctor, and so they just treated things on their own the way they could. Even my own family, my dad was in the military, but when we would get hurt, it was like, you know, unless something's really broken or you can't stop the bleeding, we're not going into the hospital, right? I mean, it was just sort of the way things were back then. And one of the things that I really appreciated that way of growing up was I really trusted my body to be able to get well. That for lots of the bumps, scrapes, fevers, and minor things, that I really felt like I could get well on my own. When I was, 17, 18 years old, I got very interested in martial arts. And that really opened up a whole worldview of Eastern philosophy that I'd never even heard of as a kid growing up. I mean, I didn't know anything about the Tao Te Ching, and I didn't know anything about, you know, sort of acupuncture or traditional Chinese medicine or Ayurveda. I'd never heard of any of these things. And I became fascinated with the concepts of heating and cooling and the five elements and things like this. So I spent a lot of time studying and learning what I could from Master Kim and other people. At the same time, I was training to be a midwife. And Juba, the woman that I was training with, was from the Caribbean, from Jamaica. And she knew a lot about the herbs for women's health. She knew what herbs to help with pregnancy and what herbs to help with the birth and after the birth and for nursing. She taught me a lot of herbs to help with, you know, menstrual cramps and things like this. And so this was all happening sort of in my late teens and early 20s, really being exposed to a lot of this. I got a book from Jethro Kloss called Back to Eden, and I read it from cover to cover. You know, I just was fascinated by it. And when I was in Sacramento, California, there was an herb store down there. And it was when I was pregnant with my son, Makoche. And I would go down to that herb shop and I would, you know, buy herbs, and I'd go home and I'd make things with them. And then I'd take them down to the Taekwondo school and I'd be making salves for people and giving people herbs. And then when I moved to New Mexico, which I got there because of martial arts, being able to teach martial arts at New Mexico State University, I opened up an herb shop, and I was able to offer massage and midwife care and herbal medicine to the people in that community. And I lived there for many years, and I started a company called Taroni's Herbals, and I gathered herbs. I would borrow friends' mules. We would go up into the Gila, and we would pack back up in there and gather a lot of herbs, a lot of osha, and come back, and we would make the tinctures from them. We'd gather the chaparral from the desert and make ointments from them. It wasn't long before just so many people were coming to see me for everything. Like, they'd come in and say, "Do you have any herbs for Hashimoto's?" And I'd be like, "Well, just a moment." And I'd reach under the cabinet and I'd pull out a Merck manual and I'd be flipping through the pages to see what Hashimoto's was. I didn't even know what that was. People would come in, and, you know, an old man came in, and, you know, he had really bad swelling in his legs. And he said, "You know, I got a bad pump. And he said, my pump doesn't work well. Do you have any herbs to help that? You know, he was in sort of florid congestive heart failure. And I began to see how many things I could help people with herbal medicine. But then I also saw the limitations. I saw that I didn't understand enough about disease and pathology and that. I'd never been trained for that. And so I began to go to school so that I could apply to medical school. And I was fortunate enough to be accepted at the University of New Mexico and was able to come to medical school and then do my residency there. And I learned so much. I learned so much about disease and about how disease happens in the body, and I learned what drugs treated it. But I also realized that I also saw the limitations of Western medicine too. I mean, just like I knew that I didn't know enough with the herbs, I also got that I didn't know enough just from Western medicine, that you really had to blend them all together, that people are more than just their heart failure or their blood pressure. They're whole human beings with a rich life and a rich story. And it is by being invited into that story that we're able to really make a difference. I have continued to use herbs in my practice. I've used them, oh my gosh, when you just think of how old I am and how long I've done this, probably 39 years now, I've been using plants to help people. It's a long time. And in that time, I've seen the herbal medicines that didn't work, and I saw those that did. I've learned when to use them and when it's best to use something stronger. I believe that the beauty of living in today's world is that there's room for everything. There's room for all of it. And that there's something especially sacred about being able to walk out into a field or a meadow or a forest and to be able to find the plants there that can heal you. I think there's something very powerful about putting seeds into the ground and watching them grow and then harvesting them and making them into syrups or glycerites or tinctures. And then firsthand, personal experience, seeing how they can change your ability to sleep. They can ease suffering, they can help ease pain. I believe that the plants are wonderful teachers. And I believe that, you know, the Creator put all of life here so that we could help each other. It's also why I believe that herbal medicine can be part of a greener form of medicine, one that is sustainable, that is ecologically friendly, one that is not expensive, and one that can really be healing on a very, very deep level. So I love plants. I love herbal medicine. I feel like it's a part of my lineage. I've shared it with my own children, the way my grandmother and Juba and Master Kim and curanderas and medicine people and farmers and neighbors and midwives and nurses have all shared with me. There's not anybody you can ever learn something from. I think that's the other thing I've come to believe in my life is that, you know, you can learn from everyone. And if you want to go deeper in the plants, go to the county extension office at the, you know, your county Department of Agriculture, State Department of Agriculture, take a botany class, you know, go to your local garden shop and ask people if they would help you learn what kind of plants you could put in your own garden or your own pot you could grow. If you really want to understand or learn about herbal medicine, there are a lot of courses that are out there. We teach a Foundations in Herbal Medicine. We're creating a Healthy at Home program. If this is something you want to do more of, where you really want to learn herbal medicine, we teach people at our ranch. We invite people to come out and spend time with us in our gardens. And we actually dig up the valerian root. We dig up the elecampane, we take the echinacea, we harvest the thyme, and then we bring it all in, we clean it, we garble it, and then we make our syrups and our tinctures and our our ointments and our salves. And people take that home and they just say, wow, that was just amazing. And do you know what it's like? I have been the director of fellowship programs. I've trained along with a team of other people as the fellowship director at the University of Arizona and then for the Academy of Integrative Medicine. I have helped be a part of the training of almost 1,000 physicians and nurse practitioners and physicians assistants. And I just have to say, how many of them have written to me years later and said, I use so many of these herbs all the time, and they work. It's like I didn't believe they would at first, and now I've just used them. I've used them so many times. I just see how much a benefit they can have. So, you know, that's a little bit of my story. Someday I hope maybe I can hear yours. And I hope that you spend some time learning the stories of the plants because they're rich and they're wonderful. And the last thing I want to say to you that I feel sort of just needs to be said is oftentimes I hear that, you know, herbs, we don't use them anymore because they don't work. And I would have to say that people who lived 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, who used these plants all the time for medicine, physicians, midwives, wise people, they used these plants and they used them for generation after generation after generation after generation. People don't do that. They don't keep using what doesn't work. Whoever built the pyramids, whoever made a calendar that's more accurate than we have today, the folks that gave us, you know, modern Olympics, the people in Asia who have some of the oldest medical texts in the world, it's not that they weren't smart or they didn't know things. They actually learned what worked and they shared it and they passed it down. In the United States, some of this has been lost because of the very way we have designed our pharmaceutical system. You can't patent echinacea. You can't patent thyme. You can't patent elecampane syrup. The way that you make money as a pharmaceutical company is actually by patents. And that has driven the pharmaceutical industry and it has really left the herbal world at a loss. Compare that to Europe or to Germany, where physicians still prescribe herbs, they're still part of their pharmacy system, and there are patents and protection that allow companies to continue to do research. So when somebody says, you know, an herb doesn't work, I would ask, does morphine work? That's from opium, poppy plant. Does quinine work? One of the most effective treatments that we had for malaria until we learned about artemisinin from wormwood in China, where they've been using it for intermittent fevers for thousands of years. Do you see what I'm saying? Is that today, even in modern medicine, many of our drugs that we use are still have their origins in plants. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for herbal medicine. I'm grateful for the plant world, the green world. And I'm glad that I'm going to be able to share some of that with you in this section of Life is Your Best Medicine.